proud to follow. Leeds United.
I am head coach of Leeds United, Neil Redfern. Hope everybody has a happy Christmas and a happy New Year.
BBC Radio Leeds.
So the Monday football panel is here. Adam Pope, Catherine Hannah and Paul Ogden. Good evening to you all.
Hello.
Good evening.
And
Good evening.
Fletcher will be giving his thoughts on Bradford City a little later on, and something we might have to talk about because we speculate in journalism, don't we? Just some news coming in that Nigel Atkins has been sacked at Reading following the 6-1 hammering by Birmingham.
Yes, I can't.
Well, you just told me
so
I hope that's right.
No,
all right,
absolutely.
Okay.
No.
Good. You looked at me like I was making it up.
I tell it, yeah. I mean, I felt it was coming a little bit.
It has been on the cards,
that.
My instant reaction to that, Brian McDermott. What's the chances of him popping back up at Reading?
And then Nigel Gibbs, who's gone to Millwall as number two today, will probably go, see you, Millwall, after Reading as well. So.
Maybe so.
So coming up, we'll obviously talk about this transfer embargo over Leeds United. We'll do that a little bit later on, because I think we need to really talk about it in a bit of length, don't we, to get our heads around it and fully understand what it means. We'll also talk about the weekend's games, obviously, and including Bradford City, that excellent win at the weekend. I want to start with a bit of an explosive question and topic. I want to poke the bear. I'm not just talking about Catherine here with that, so don't get too angry at me. Leeds United, 2 wins in 13. Huddersfield Town, 2 wins in 9. We're 2 games away from the halfway point of the league season. Leeds United are 5 off relegation. Huddersfield Town are 6 off relegation. I'd love to hear your thoughts and everyone else's thoughts about this. Is it yes or no? Are our 2 championship clubs now relegation candidates? Popey?
Leeds, I don't think so. I think Leeds will improve, and I'm still sitting with my idea that they're going to finish in mid-table this season.
It depends when you ask me. If you'd have asked me after the Derby match, I'd have said, don't be so ridiculous, that's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life. If you'd have asked me last Saturday after they lost away at Ipswich, and then possibly again after Saturday, you'd think, okay. They've got all the potential, Leeds, to not get embroiled in a relegation scrap, but if they keep losing matches, then you do start to have to be a little bit worried. And equally for Huddersfield as well, I'm sorry to say this, but the amount of goals they're shipping, unless that gets sorted out very, very quickly, they could be in trouble as well. When you're looking at who's in the bottom, or who's below both of those teams at the moment, all right, if we write off Blackpool as not being able to catch them up.
I don't think you should write off Blackpool yet.
Do you think?
No, they might
still pull off a great escape. I'm not so sure. I mean, Brighton.
No, but I think they'll definitely improve and start taking some points off people.
So you've got bottom three at the minute is Brighton, Wigan, Blackpool. Well, Brighton are a bit hopeless at the moment, but you wonder if Sammy Hippier gets the boot and they bring somebody else in, whether he can turn that around. Wigan, if they take Grant Holt back and he starts scoring goals. Rotherham, I could see them dropping into the bottom three. Likewise, Millwall. But if Leeds and Huddersfield don't start performing more consistently, then it could be a real relegation scrap. And I hate to say that, but it's looking a bit ominous at the minute.
Look, they're not going to be a million miles at the table, are they? And I think I will be worried about Leeds if they don't pick points up against Wigan. And that's when I'll be worried. But at the moment, I think I can see an upward curve in the way that the players will become more experienced, even though they're losing games, probably through lack of experience more than anything else, and obviously daft mistakes. But so that's why I'm hopeful at this point.
Oggy, weigh in.
I'm going to try and be diplomatic, guys, here.
Don't.
Because, I mean, I'm looking at the table. There are, 4 teams between Huddersfield Town and the relegation zone itself. Leeds United, Bolton Wanderers, Millwall and Rotherham United. Town play Rotherham and Bolton in 2 of the next 3 matches. We've got Birmingham coming up on Saturday. The teams below the relegation line include teams that Town haven't beaten this season, Brighton and Wigan. They drew against both of those, although they smashed Blackpool. And the answer to your original question, guys, are Town relegation candidates? Not quite, but not far off, is the short answer, if you accept 5-word answers. I would say Town need to stop. I agree with Catherine, conceding so many goals and so many daft goals at that. But they also just need to up their win ratio, 2 wins in 9. Look at the away record. What is it? 8 points from a possible 33 on the road in the 11 games so far this season is not good enough. Town are keeping their head above water at the moment, but not by much. And I just think back to that comment that Chris Powell made some weeks ago when he said, we're a bit thin on the ground. By goodness, didn't it show on Saturday?
So If you're listening in, what do you think to that? Are we right to be talking about that and asking that question, or is it totally absurd we're thinking about that at the moment? Text 81333, start your message with WYS. Remember to put your name and where you're from on it and which team you're talking about, and also your three-word reviews. You can also tweet us at WYS Daily. I'm just going to put my two-penny worth in and say, actually, I think it's too early to be asking this question now, but I think end of January it probably is, and I can't make my mind up about both sides. When I think they're going great guns, they have some horrible results.
Right.
And then when you look at the form at the moment, 2 wins in 13, 2 wins in 9, they aren't blips.
I think the other thing as well, guys, it probably is too early to call it, because I think if we'd learnt today that there's no loophole for Leeds to be able to add players, then I would be more concerned. At the moment, I'm positive, I'm optimistic. There seems to be a way through. I know we're going to come on to that later, but it looks like they can do business in the transfer window despite the embargo today.
My only worry with that is, even if they can do business in the January transfer window, I hate January, because what sort of players of the kind of quality or experience are going to be available from their clubs at the sort of money, particularly the sort of money that Leeds can afford, because it's going to have to be on a fairly tight budget. Anybody that's any good, their club's not going to want to let them go.
Well, we'll talk about signings and the transfer market a little later on. Let's talk about the weekend results first of all. Some of your texts coming in. Mike in Morley reacting to this relegation question. Not at all for either Leeds or Huddersfield. Make sure they keep their heads in the game and look forward rather than backwards, and both will be fine. I like that positive text, Mike. Thank you very much for that. Lee the White in Lancs, 3 words to describe Leeds at the weekend: a little better and give me strength. Yeah, that probably sums it all up a little bit. On Twitter at WYS Daily, Megaphone Man regarding Halifax, match postponed late. Yeah, it was a very late call.
That's a right
stinker. Really poor.
An hour before kickoff, and they're all the way at Worcester.
And it looks like that game could, we haven't got it confirmed, could be the 23rd of December now, because obviously Worcester are playing in the FA Cup this weekend, hence why they're not playing tonight like Bradford Park Avenue are. But that is a real stinker. Andy Taylor regarding Bradford City, out. Side promotion contenders? Question mark. Absolutely. We'll talk about them a little later on. And the not so negative fan regarding Leeds United: why always us? Again, 4. But I think we'll take that. Sean, very pessimistic. Johnston paints trophy for Leeds. And this one from Andrew is great for Huddersfield: nightmare before Christmas.
Yeah, pretty much.
Absolutely. And we'll start with Huddersfield Town then, Oggy, because you're always on a bit of a time frame, because we can only keep him for so long. We can only afford him for so long. They started so well. I thought it was a very even game. Had it remained 11 against 11, I think it would have been a really good, entertaining game. Could have gone either way. Naki Wells obviously had a chance early on. Sending off from Murray Wallace, definite red card. They did really well up to half time. And then Powell makes the change. People don't know. He put another left back on in Dixon and moved the current left back into a centre back role to go back to 3 at the back. They'd gone to 4.
I don't think that'll happen again, guys.
Well, and they conceded 3 goals in the first 6 minutes of the second half when he had Gerrard and Pelletier, 2 centre backs, on the bench. Do we have to say Powell got it badly, badly wrong?
Well, I hate to point the finger at Chris Powell, because I feel a bit sorry for him, guys. What he did was logical if you read between the lines, and you always have to do this. The first thing to say is Lee Pelletier is not a centre-back. The second thing to say is,
he's more of a centre-back than Jack Robinson.
Yeah, but that's not what Chris Powell thought until Saturday at about 4:30. They've decided internally that Lee Pelletier should not be picked as a centre-back unless it's an emergency situation.
Leeds fans could have told him that a long time ago, couldn't they?
They may well have done. And the second thing I was going to say is that Anthony Gerrard, although Chris Powell won't say it publicly, is not ready to play. When he said to us after the game on Saturday, he has to be ready to play, what he really means is, I've got 5 days to get this fella ready, and he's not ready yet, because he's down to his absolute last possible candidates for that position. Jack Robinson was an absolute compromise on Saturday. It was an emergency. It didn't work. And I must say this, Mark Hudson had an uncharacteristically bad game as well. Cameron Jerome got above Mark Hudson for his header, and that was about the only distance Cameron Jerome was going to score from on Saturday. I think if Gary Hooper had carried on until 10:30 on Sunday morning, he'd still be trying to score. But their goals came from midfield and from Bradley Johnson and from the little winger Nathan Redmond, who had a fantastic contribution when he came on. Town just could not cope with Norwich. And it worries me that when you take one bloke out of the team, one bloke in his right position, Murray Wallace, they capitulate.
So the Monday football panel: Adam Pope, Catherine Hannah, Paul Ogden and myself, Gareth Jones, and all of you giving your thoughts on what you hear, your three-word reviews. Dave Fletcher will talk later on about Bradford City. Just talking about Huddersfield Town at the moment. Interesting, Augie, what you're saying there about he doesn't think Gerrard's fit enough. And this was a big debate I had with Kieran after the game, because he's played development games and you'd hope he'd have got himself a bit fit from that. What bugged me is the game's gone at 3-0 down. It's gone at 4-5, obviously. 20 minutes left. Why he only used the one sub at half time and then didn't use the other two substitutes. So why didn't he then go, I've got to use Gerrard next week, let's get him 25 minutes here, get him fit. Or Hamill, who's on the bench, or Vaughan, who's already played. Let's give him 20 minutes and let's try and make something positive out of this. We've lost the game, but at least we can get two more players a little bit more match fit and a bit match sharp. Are you surprised he didn't make more subs, Captain? Or on the other hand of it, would he go, worst thing I could do is put Vaughan on, and he breaks down again, and then it's a really bad day.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised he didn't give them a bit more of a run out, to be honest. I mean, I guess the argument is that if you bring players into a situation that's already been and gone, and then it gets a load worse, you know, you want to kind of keep it to a minimum, don't you, if you're going to get hammered.
Which, believe me, Catherine, was a serious prospect on Saturday. That's where I would put the interpretation. Sorry to interrupt you, but I think that it was damage limitation all the way through the second half. And again, I have to interpret it as James Vaughan, Gerrard, Hamill, they're just not ready to play in the intensity of a first-team match, even in those circumstances and in those freezing temperatures that were plummeting by the minute.
They're never going to get ready,
you risk serious injury.
They're never going to be ready for serious combat if they're never allowed to get
involved
in serious combat.
If you're on the bench, you're fit. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the way I look at it.
Not
true. If you're on the bench, you don't put unfit players on the bench, really, you don't. Not in my opinion.
You do if that's all you've got, and that's the whole point.
Well, there's no point having them on. I mean, look at Rudy
Austin
for Leeds.
Well, he's got nobody else.
Rudy Austin
for
Leeds.
Who did he put on instead? The kit man?
Taken off
Alex
the
Dyer?
Bench.
He's got nobody else. That's why he said, we're a bit thin on the ground. He's down to the bare bones, and he's down to players who are just not ready to play.
Well, let's hear from the man himself.
Well, we wanted to just firm it up at the back. I know I've got Anthony Gerrard there who can go in the centre. But we wanted the balance. We knew that Jack Robinson, Paul Dixon, I sort of second guess that Rebben would come on. So we wanted to kind of keep that tight. We knew Naki was playing out of position. But we just felt that, you know, that pressure, we could have relieved that pressure somewhat, but it didn't work. You know, you do gamble, you do make decisions that sometimes go for you and other times they don't. And if you start halves the way we did in that second half, you're just not going to get anything from any game at any level. We just allowed them to do exactly what they wanted, you know, and that can't happen. You know, I said to the players afterwards, that just cannot happen. First half looked like my team. Second half, it just didn't. It looked as if we felt we're down to 10, we're a goal down. There's no chance of us coming back. There's always a chance. You know, I've been involved in games. I've been down to 9 men and got back. I treat it as a one-off. I really do. I treat it as a one-off because they haven't done anything like that since I've been here. And I make sure we won't do that again.
Mark on Twitter says, can't win away for Huddersfield Town. And another one coming here, Kevin has two. Bad second half, both management and players. And that was the thing that concerned me, Augie, how badly they capitulated, because they had done brilliantly up to half-time. Can't praise them enough for how well they played first half with 11 and with 10. But once the game was gone, they did totally capitulate. And that was my disappointing thing. There was just, the heads were gone, the energy levels had gone. And what I really didn't like, and I know this wouldn't have helped anyone, I just wanted to see someone just go and kick one of the Norwich players. Just go in and just kick someone up in the air, take yellow card, and just show, I'm not happy.
Another red card down to 9 men, and then
you can show, just go in with a shoulder bar, just something to show you're a bit angry and you care. And that's what I didn't see on Saturday. Anyone that cared in the last 20 minutes of that game that went, I'm annoyed by this, and we should all be annoyed about this. They all just seemed to accept it, Augie, as Powell seemed to intimate there.
Yeah. What you say is partially right and very amusing, Gaz. I don't actually agree with you as such, because I just think, frankly, they couldn't keep up with them. Grant Holt cared. But he cared in a kind of way which is classic Grant Holt. He found his sense of humour by the end of the game. He was joshing with their keeper, Ruddy, about a really good save that he made, I think from Butterfield or somebody at the end of the match when it was 5-0. I fear, and this is where my great misgivings lie, Gaz, that there is still quite a big gulf between a Norwich City and a Huddersfield Town in terms of class and calibre. And that's why Town conceded four against a Watford and three against Derby and Fulham and three against Leeds United, which is the last time they played that badly for me, by the way, at Elland Road. But I don't condone going in and you know, showing your anger as such, because they just can't deal with another prospect of a suspension. I think it's about getting players fit and coaching them properly.
Well, for me, if you're going to show it up on a day when it's running away from him, that's when you bring Anthony Gerrard on for me. And you know, if he's that, honestly, Og, if he's not that anywhere near match fit, or then he just wouldn't be on the bench.
But he's been fit for a long time.
I know,
exactly, so
what I'm saying. Yeah.
If Chris Powell was going to be really honest, though, how much is it that Anthony Gerrard's not quite fit, and how much is it that he just really doesn't rate him?
Well.
Yeah, he looked to loan him out, which he admitted the other day, and was surprised nothing happened with that. And I suppose this is his chance now. This is probably make or break for Anthony Gerrard if he's to get game time over Christmas with Wallace suspended and Joel Lynch seemingly like he won't be available for what's definitely a must-win against Birmingham this coming weekend. More of your thoughts here. This one has no name on. I think it's talking about Leeds. Sorry, I hope that I'm wrong, but I can't see anything other than relegation. No defence, no attack, and a lot of youth, but very little experience. As I say, that's some text that is missing on that, so I don't know who it's from or talk. I presume that sounds like Leeds.
Yeah, it sounds like Leeds. The youth element sounds... Well, all of it sounds like Leeds, yeah. But particularly the youth element of it.
Yeah, there is an attack. There's 15 goals already, but it's just so it is hit and miss. Defence is a concern. And I think on that subject, that just raise it there, that... Oggs wrote about the Gerrard thing and whether you play him or whether he's not fit. Well, look at Rudy Austin. As soon as it was found out that he was not fit in that warm-up, and Redfern was angry because he should have made it aware before that his ankle wasn't right, he pulled him straight out. He wasn't playing, and Dawson was lobbed onto the bench. There was no Austin. If you're not fit, you don't go
on
the 18th.
Yeah, but Oggs is making the point. That's the problem with Town. They haven't got the strength and depth to do it. Just fine on Town. I do want to say, I thought Naki Wells... Oh. If he keeps not scoring goals, play him as a fullback. So I thought he worked his socks out off tracking back and marking first half. And Connor Cody, Oggy, just very briefly, needs to take a lot of credit for his first half performance when he had to go to centre back.
This is where we need to look, guys, actually. You'll accuse me of being outlandish here, but in the circumstances where Lynch is injured, Murray Wallace is suspended, what we've got to look at for Birmingham at home on Saturday is who is Huddersfield Town's best available deputy centre back. The answer in terms of match fitness and ability at the moment is Connor Cody.
We'll have to see if he goes for that at the weekend. Mandy Jackson says it was embarrassing. Her three-word review for Huddersfield, and Pietro on Twitter at WYS Daily, Leeds in serious trouble. Catherine and Pope, you were there for the 1-0 loss at Elland Road against Fulham. Leeds had chances, didn't put them away. Were they unlucky or...
Should have had a point for me. Cracking, one of those, the great header from Mo, it hits the bar, hits the back of the keeper and goes wide. Byram had a couple of efforts, but that says it all. Mo and Byram were the best chances. Nothing was happening from the front three of Adrian, Antonucci and Dukara, although it looked promising in the first half.
They played Dukara, some really nice stuff, but then Noel Whelan, former lead striker, who was our expert summariser again on Saturday, was making the point that Antonucci and Dukara both keep getting dragged away from where they should be. They should be in the penalty box. When that cross comes in for Mowat, and it's Mowat that's the header who comes the closest to score, why is it Alex Mowat that's getting on the end of that and not either
Which
of the two strikers?
Seeing them midfield
commit brilliant,
like that,
but that shouldn't be his position. So why are they getting dragged away from it back into midfield, or they're just not in the position that they need to be in?
Lost count of how many balls went into the box.
They're really missing.
And over people's heads, and because there weren't any heads.
But at least that's an improvement, because we've criticised them before for not getting enough balls in the box, haven't we?
Where's the Lee Chapman figure who has no interest in getting involved in the midfield whatsoever? Purely wants to be in front of goal for tap-ins, for headers. But that's his job.
But also, Catherine, a big moment for me, Adrian bottled that header for me when Sharp chipped it in. He's there for the ball.
He jumped and got lower somehow.
Got lower. He saw the keeper, I think. And I said to Redford after the game, look, Neil, someone's got to break a nose when they go in for something like that. And he says, right, you've got to learn to play the championship. It's a dirty, aggressive,
hard league. Hopefully he'll have learned.
Well, I would hope so. And it was a shame. Look, he did some good things in the game, but again, it faded and he just didn't see enough.
Well, we're talking about Huddersfield with brave players and having a bit of fight and bringing them up by the bootstraps. And Hudson is that player for Town, but when he has a stinker like he did the other day, not just for the sending off, but he almost gave a goal away before half-time, then gave away at least the first goal, if not more, in that second half. Do Leeds have those players?
They need some grit. It's not just experience. It's somebody that's just going to marshal them. And they've got kids in midfield in Cook and Moat who are brilliant and phenomenally talented. But
and got some grit as well, I'd say. The
players. Yeah, they have. But there's...
No. Not proper grit, no.
No, I disagree with that because they do put themselves around about
they're
a bit, particularly
though.
Cook.
I'm not sure.
But they just need an experienced head of somebody that's been there, done it, who's not just experienced, but a bit of quality as well. Mm. In the same way that you were saying, you want them to get angry when it's going wrong. Somebody to say, right, come on, let's have this by the scruff of the neck. We've talked about this all season, and Leeds still haven't quite found a player that fits into that kind of Dominic Matteo, David Batty kind of calibre mould.
They smashed into challenges in the first 5 minutes. Scott Duncan, the referee, you know, rightly to play on.
Feisty.
And it looked great and it's fight. And Cook was one of them straight into it. Adrian can get a little bit of a dig in as well if he needs. He can take a bit of a going over. But Mowat can as well. But you're right. It still needs that somebody who's completely championship immersed and knows how to do it.
And
we talked about Scott
Park
for the game.
Well.
He didn't play for Fulham. But he's someone that could do. He's that sort of player, I think.
On social media, hi to Matthew. Dakara is too similar to Antonucci. They both look to run past defenders and get onto through balls. Sharp needs a chance, and Mark on similar lines. Sharp should replace Dakara for sure. Dakara is useless for the majority of games. And Daz, three-word review for Leeds. Still feeling positive. So there is some positivity out there. Danny Rose says club needs sorting. And Andy says, can see a relegation battle looming. Tough games coming up for Leeds United. While Stu, regarding Huddersfield Town, what a joke. Jimmy also regarding Leeds, bottom three looming. So a bit of a mix between positivity and negativity with Leeds United fans. But that would be the story for every single group of fans in the country, for all teams. You have the positive and the negative. We'll talk about the transfer embargo after the news at 6:30. I just wondered, who would you put up front now then? Because we've had a few texts there talking about Sharp getting a chance. If we're talking about a bit of someone wanting to be in the box, getting headers on the ball, maybe a bit tougher, gives that personality. Morrison.
But Neil Redfern clearly doesn't rate him because he seems to be getting nowhere near even the bench, let alone the first 11.
Montenegro is a kid, really. I know he's 21, but he's not ready for to lead the line like that.
For me, next time, I think Dukara's had his chance. I'd maybe stick with Antonucci, throw Sharp in and try that combination to start off with and see how that does.
I think it's worth a try, definitely. Sharp looked busy, didn't he, and got amongst things, and looks like something could happen for him now.
And then they're going to have to sign somebody, like Matt Smith, but better.
Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. Andrew says, need more steel for Leeds United and the Kleck boys regarding Huddersfield. Team needs improving. We need to get rid of the dead wood in January and buy some smart championship quality in the window. We need a centre-back, central midfielder and a striker. Powell is the man to sort it out. Just needs the cash. Saturday's result is just a bad one. Let's kick on next Saturday. And, of course, you will hear those games on BBC Radio Leeds this coming weekend. Huddersfield Town at 3 o'clock against Birmingham, 5:15 for Leeds away at Forest.
Proud to follow Leeds United.
It seems a never-ending drama at Leeds United.
And if there's breaking news from Elland Road, you'll hear it first on BBC Radio Leeds.
What Leeds United is saying, that we have today received notice from the Football League disqualifying Mr. Cilina from being a director of Leeds United Football Club until the 18th of March 2015.
We bring you interviews and reaction from the main characters who really matter.
I want to respect the rules because we belong the Football League, we have to respect the Football League. But the Football League has to look after the club.
And we give you the opportunity to have your say as the story unfolds.
Although I have mixed feelings about this reign of Mr. Cilina, you have to say that Leeds United fans will hope that he does retain his ownership.
We are the station for Leeds United.
Proud to follow Huddersfield Town.
I am Chris Powell, Huddersfield Town manager. I'd like to wish all the listeners a very happy Christmas.
BBC Radio Leeds.
Isn't that nice? Not going to be a happy Christmas if they keep getting results like on Saturday. West Yorkshire Sport Daily on BBC Radio Leeds. I'm Gareth Jones with Adam Pope and Catherine Hannah with the Monday Football Panel. All of you giving your thoughts on your club's performance at the weekend, issues around the club and reacting to anything we say. Text 81333, start your message with WYS or tweet us at WYS Daily. We'll talk about Bradford City with Dave Fletcher and Phil Parkinson a little later on. We're here till 7 o'clock with the panel. Then it's the Mark Forrest Show, followed at 10 by Russell Walker and The Late Show. Let's hear from the Leeds head coach, Neil Redfern, following Saturday's 1-0 loss to Fulham, where the ball just wouldn't go in the back of the net.
I think probably a draw would have been a fair result, if I'm honest. I didn't think either side really looked like, you know, looked like scoring, and they nicked the goal. You know, but from our point of view, it wasn't so much of a flat performance, but it lacked conviction. You know, it lacked that finishing, cutting edge in the final third. You know, the quality of the ball in, for whatever reason, or people turning down shooting opportunities. You know, I mean, we want to be a passing side, but there's got to be something at the end of it. You know, we didn't look ourselves in midfield, and the three in midfield have done really well all season, Bianchi, Mowat and Cook. You've got to make it happen. You know, you've got to make things happen. You know, when balls are flashing across the box, people have got to, you know, die to get on the end of it. And that wasn't the case today. But listen, you know, it's all part of trying to get them to be better. You know, it's going to be a long process. It probably does need some bodies to help them. You look at the league table, whatever run you go on, you're still one forward, two back, because you know what's happened before. You know, 6 points from the previous 10 games is not enough. You know, and then all of a sudden you're sort of playing catch up. So, you know, when you do get a bit of a disappointment at home, it's magnified.
On the league table, it's 5 points above the bottom three. There are a few fans saying, you know, we're worried about relegation. What would you say to them?
Well, I think what we've got to do, I think we've got to concentrate on the here and now. You know, make sure that we get these performances right, we get these results, you know, to start turning it round again and point in the right direction.
Peter on tech says, Leeds annual post-Christmas collapse? ? Let's certainly hope not. And one with no name on says, I wish the Football League would make up their minds and dish out the punishments, or just leave everyone at Leeds United and other clubs who seem to have broken the financial fair play regulations alone. It's also annoying that the Football League insist on applying the ban on Massimo from being Leeds owner now. Why, if they were going to apply this sanction, was it not applied earlier? I suppose the answer to that is they only got the conviction report through recently, didn't they?
Yeah, that came through in July is when it was available. They got it only recently. By the way, that appeal went in today, but against that disqualifying condition. Today's the deadline.
And on Twitter, hi to Kevin. So in a nutshell, we cannot buy any players, but we can still get some players if we stick to the rules. And James says, transfer ban, LOL. Let's talk about the transfer embargo that is now over Leeds United, Adam Pope.
That was Catherine a fun Hannah. Hour this morning,
explain
wasn't it?
Explain it, because your two heads almost exploded trying to work out what it actually means.
I mean, the Football League sent down an email with explaining it, but there were a few little grey areas. But basically what it means is that because Leeds have less than 24 players who have made 5 appearances for the club in terms of start and who were 21 at the beginning of the season, because they've got less than 24, i.e. namely 20, it means that they are able to go and do some business in the transfer window. They can't pay a fee for a player, but they can bring a player in, providing he's not earning 600 grand or more pro rata. So basically, that's the sort of big loophole. They can do a similar thing with loans, and apparently you can bring in an emergency loan goalkeeper anyway, even if you're under embargo. So Leeds seem to be able to get round what seems to be a blanket transfer embargo because of this at this stage.
So what kind of players can they actually sign for that? Because Neil Redfern has said, you heard it on our bulletin clips with Liz Green at breakfast this morning, him saying they need championship quality players with the experience and nous to play at this level. How are they going to, Catherine, be able to sign those type of players with those rules in place?
I don't think they're going to find them. That's what I'm worried about.
It's quite a lot, though, isn't it? It's more than 10 grand
a
week, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but it's the fee as well.
Which
you know,
can't pay.
So
yeah.
You can't, if you can't pay a fee, all right, you can pay someone's wages, but where is there somebody that's got experience, who's good, who is not with a club, who you can sign without having to pay a fee?
And if clubs are willing to let these players go for free, they're obviously not good enough for their club, so why would Leeds want them?
Here's a thought, though. There may be championship clubs out there with players that fit that category, and they might be worried about not making the next financial fair play, because it's actually a little bit stricter this year. You've got, I think it's £6 million for this current season. So maybe there's a thing, oh gosh, we might need to just bin off a few players, and we're willing for people to take their wages, say. I don't think you can do it alone as well, to an extent. So maybe, or go abroad.
Yeah, that worries me a bit. I have no problem.
He's
done a lot of that, and he's brought in some real quality players. That's in dispute. Mm. But when you've got Neil Redfern saying that he wants championship experience, and as I say, good championship experience, there's loads of experienced players, but they're hopeless. You need championship experience of players you would actually want in your side. Yeah. So if he's starting then to go for more unknown names for abroad, that's a real risk for me. All right, it could pay off and you could get some more quality, but equally it could backfire horribly and you've got a couple more players that don't really get what the championship is all about, or it's going to take them time to get what the championship's about.
Let's say, if we worked it out correctly, that there are now four players, say, as it stands. For me, centre-back, a couple of midfielders and another striker in the mould that we were talking about before. Who are the strikers that have been linked with? Pavoletti, who's played, what, a couple of hours of football so far this season, almost signed, you know, on deadline day before the club trolled its own fans. Remember that story sort of thing. Not through the club's fault, by the way, I have to say, or through the media people's fault, I should add. So a couple of midfielders, yes, I can see that. Big, nasty centre-back they need too. That's for me, is where I'd see them being able to improve the side in the way we want to. Forget about your flair wingers at the moment. Forget about that. You need the steel.
I just wonder where he's going to find them under the Christmas tree. I'd love to know if anybody's got... Give us some suggestions. Yeah, give us some names.
People want to play for Leeds, though. Don't forget.
This is true, yes.
That's true. You mustn't underestimate that.
And the other thing is Chiellino wanting to pay... So you're saying they can pay up to $600,000
pro rata.
So $300,000. It works out around... $10,000 a week.
Will he want to pay wages
pay up to...
Yeah, but I'm saying, will he want to?
Well, I think also he's trying to cut the wages. Get a few people out as well, of course.
Yeah. How easy is that going to be? Because a lot of the dead wood that he would want to get shot of, you think, well, is anybody actually going to want to take them?
You can get them out on a transfer embargo, can you?
Yeah, you can get players. Yeah, players can go, yeah. So, and I mean, for example, you'd think, look at the players that aren't around, that aren't playing. David Norris hasn't played at all since the Bradford City game, has he, in the Cup. There's a few that have gone out already. Who else might you think? Steve Morrison would be one that doesn't seem to be fit in the bill at the moment. So, you know, there's two for a start. But as you say, it's getting them out, isn't it? And they'll be on decent wages then.
I do wonder about this financial fair play and these punishments with it. And I know Dean Hall, the Huddersfield Town owner and chairman, has been very vocal about this in the past. Are these, and we should remember it's not just Leeds United, it's Blackburn and Nottingham Forest as well. And we know there's issues about Leicester City and QPR if they come down or whatever. Is it the right kind of punishment? Because I think if you speak to a club like Huddersfield Town, and this is just my view, so I don't want to be putting words in their mouth, do you want to stop Leeds, Blackburn and Forest signing players when they already have decent squads, particularly Blackburn and Forest, or would you prefer them to have a 6-point deduction? And because they're sticking to the fair play rules of Huddersfield, but what advantage do they have over Blackburn, Leeds and Nottingham now? Nothing, because that's not a punishment for those clubs.
Well, I think some of them won't be in the same situation as Leeds. I just think because Leeds have got that criteria, if you like, where they've got those.
But that's
players.
Not going to help. That's not going to help a Huddersfield Town or a Millwall or a Blackpool who have stuck within these rules. And
it depends how wily your owner is. If we can get players in for like 600,000,
it should be points.
It's punishing the wrong people though, because then you're punishing the players, you're punishing the fans.
Yeah, that's, yeah,
you want to try and encourage clubs to run their business properly.
Yeah, it's a point deduction.
No, disagree.
So how would you do it then?
In the way that they are doing.
How would you punish them?
Give us a text. I think if I'm being fair to the Football League, I think they're bringing it in, trying to get people right. So it's 8 million this year, then it's 6 million next year. Then I think that's in terms of the losses that you're allowed to have. And then I think it changes again after that, doesn't it? So I think they're allowing people to try and get themselves in order without being too draconian, you know, first off, if you like, but
it's not punishing people then. Well, it's not
it
doing
is.
Anything.
It's punishing the wrong people. You know, why should Neil Redfern suddenly have to contend with a 6-point deduction when it's now to do with him? The fans then are looking at it thinking, oh crikey, here we go again. It's now to do with them. It's not even really to do with Chiellino. It's due to the previous owners. Yeah. So why on earth should they have a points deduction to contend with on top of everything else?
Blackburn and Forest are still going to be competing for the playoffs this season, regardless of where they can do business in January. If they knock 6 points off, they're not.
But it's encouraging them to do business in the right way, and that's what it should be about.
Yes, I agree. I don't think points is the right answer in this case at all. I really don't.
Okay, well, you're both wrong. Jonathan, the Leeds fan, says, need decent cover, central defenders and a goal-scoring machine in the mould of Lee Chapman, Tony Yeboah and Mark Viduka. Oh, can you imagine if you combine the best parts of those three? A super striker.
£32 million worth later.
Yeah, and a steely, experienced midfield. That's the thoughts of Jonathan on text 81333. Start your message with WYS. Just finishing off with Leeds, do you think the off-the-field problems are affecting the team at all? Because I know a few Leeds fans have said that on social media.
I don't think they
particularly
are
after
yet.
The Ipswich game.
I don't think. I think they could do in time, but I don't think they are right now. I don't. I think I think the issues that concern me more, I think Neil Redford could do with some help. He needs a sounding board, and I think that would help him, so he's not having to do everything right now. And I think that's more of an issue. I don't think they're seeping through. And you know, there's always been issues, and what you don't want is players to look for excuses, and because they will do in time. But right now, I don't think it's an excuse at all.
Peter says Collins, Bremner, Strachan. Short Scotsman, please. That's the key for Leeds' success. Yeah. Always had those guys.
Who can we think Collins. Of, though, that then now fits that mould? Yeah. And he was available.
Exactly. I mean, and is there anybody in the squad that you think that, well, maybe they deserve a go at that? Personally, I think no. I think they do have to go elsewhere. I think they've got to be English, I think, or certainly very, very, very experienced in the Championship.
Scottish.
Yeah, or I don't mind. No, they could be from, you know, outside, as long as they know the Championship. That's the thing for me, definitely. I mean, I did put that English thing to Neil Redfern. He said, no, they've just got to be Championship experience.
West Yorkshire Sport Daily, the Monday football panel, thank you for being part of it, along with myself, Gareth Jones, Adam Pope and Catherine Hannah. We've been very serious and quite fighty today, haven't we?
It's your fault.
Yeah, quick, let's, we've lacked the humour and banter. Quick, let's think of a joke. What's orange and sounds like a parrot?
A carrot.
Oh, don't ruin it. Yeah. There we go. Quality. No?
That's a terrible, this thing on? That's a terrible joke.
Lee the White says Hansen may do a job for Leeds, even if he's injury prone, or Becchio. Can't think of anyone else. Well, Hansen's been one to talk about for quite a while. We did get an email today saying that James Hansen isn't actually injury prone. Thank you to Jonathan for that, because he has played more or less 30 games each season, but he's probably missed between 12 and 15 each season, so I describe that as injury prone.
Yeah, debate.
It's a debate. Also, is he injury prone or not?
Do like Leeds change their style to suit something like that? I think they have to change their style to play in a certain way away from home, but
yes.
Does it include having L Big number 9?
Sam's come up with the Scotsman. Ali McCoy might be available soon. Still put the boots on. He might be going back to Question of Sport or something now.
Oh,
when
that'd
he becomes
be good.
Available.
I'd like that.
That is great as well. You hand in your resignation and you're going to continue working for the year and your pay goes up. We have got bad contracts here. Does anyone else, listen, have a contract like that? You'd be adding your resignation every month, wouldn't you? And then you'd be going, actually, I've changed my mind. Unbelievable. Only in Scotland. No, only in football, because something like that probably happened. I just wanted to say, breaking news, what's happened since 6 o'clock on the WhatsApp, that's really a poor English sentence, isn't it? Sorry. On the football panel is Nigel Adkins been sacked at Reading. You know, they keep saying about Toly Pulis being around the Premier League puts pressure on the manager struggling at that level, although they've not sacked any managers in the Premier League yet. I think there was 5 sacked this time last year. Do you think that's the same with Nigel Adkins, or am I giving him far too much credit? Does he put, I'm not talking about any of our clubs, but just generally him being available now, does that put pressure on?
It does a little bit. I mean, that's the 27th Football League managerial change apparently this season, I've been reading, which is as many as the whole of last season. So don't know. I like Catherine Shout of Brian McDermott, who's currently helping out at Arsenal,
yeah,
going straight back in
or dare I say Phil Parkinson.
Brad needs to start losing again, so I'm sure he'll appreciate us touting his name around. FC fans will be delighted about that.
Sorry.
More of your three-word reviews. Brig Dave says Norwich scored 5. Yeah, very factual. Very, very good one. There. Bantam Pete says, hi, Gaz. My three-word review for the Mighty Bantams, a superb superb away form. Yeah, Leeds and Huddersfield could do with a bit of that magic, couldn't they? Let's talk about Bradford City then on the football panel. Dave Fletcher can't join us live tonight, unfortunately.
Dude.
I know, exactly. Become too big time for us. Probably going on 5 lives at 7 o'clock. But through the magic of pre-record, we can hear from him anyway. Hurrah! This is what he's had to say about the performance at the weekend as City made it back-to-back league wins for the first time this season. Unbeaten in 6 now, winning 5 of those to put them a point off the playoffs as they beat 10 Manchesterfield away, 1-0, thanks to the excellent Billy Sharp. Billy Sharp.
Oh,
that was almost really, really good. Billy Clark.
Well, they were very impressive, Gaz. It was strange. It was another one of those afternoons where you thought, oh, no, it's all going to go wrong, because they dominated the first half, couldn't get the ball in the back of the net. Didn't really work. The home goalkeeper, Tommy Lee, Keithley-born Tommy Lee, I hasten to add. And then in the second half, it looked like Chesterfield might begin going to get on top, because they started well. They should have scored. Gary Roberts really should have scored 2 minutes after the break. And then a minute after that, the home skipper, Sammy Morsy, was sent off. That gave City the impetus they needed, really. But it was a magnificent goal that got them the 3 points in the end. I don't know if anybody's seen it on the Football League show. If you haven't, get on the iPlayer and have a watch of it. Rory McArdle lifted it forward. Billy Clark took it out of the air with his left foot, turned around and then smacked it from 20 yards into the top left-hand corner. Absolutely brilliant. And our nerves wouldn't have jangled at all had John Stead not hit the post from 6 yards out a couple of minutes later. But they held on and were worthy winners.
What's changed for Billy Clark then? Because he banged a few in early on, but then his form just totally disappeared in front of goal, and now he's banging them in for fun again.
Yeah, it was strange, wasn't it? At the start of the season, Bradford City's summer signings all looked absolutely fantastic. You were looking at the likes of Billy Clark and Gary Liddle, who's had a few injury problems, and then Billy Knott as well. We're all basically running the show, and then it all dipped off a bit. I'm not sure why his form's returned, but I'm certainly glad that it has, and he seems to be enjoying playing alongside John Stead. They're striking up something of an understanding, no question about that. Stead really should have scored again. He scored last week in the FA Cup. That's three in a row, as you say, for Billy Clark. And if you can get those two working together well, then you've got half a chance, haven't you? Because they've definitely got people who can supply the ammunition in Philippe Moraes and in the other winger, Mark Yates. How could I forget Mark Yates? He's one of the players of the season so far. He was sensational in the first half. So
that maybe shows, though, Fletch, that Yates has been so superb, but we're not talking about him at the moment, and shows why the whole City team's improving.
Which is good, isn't it?
Because they're all doing well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you asked me 2 or 3 weeks ago to name my player of the season so far, and he was probably head and shoulders the best player this season, partly because of how well he was playing and partly because of how much he's come on since this time last season, when he looked a bit lost to me, really, whenever I saw him. But you're right, there are more than one player who's doing well. And also Andrew Davis and Rory McArdle back together at the back, and they're looking a little bit more solid. That's a clean sheet on Saturday, which I know Phil Parkinson was delighted about. And Jordan Pickford, who after a bit of a shaky start, when he looked like he was a little uncomfortable on corners and crosses and that kind of thing, he really is starting to look a commanding young goalkeeper.
Not that we weren't listening to Dave Fletcher there, but we were also getting a lecture on how to blow your nose properly by Catherine Hannah then, which was interesting. Fatum on Twitter says Stead misses sitter for Bradford City, although that didn't come and cost him too much. Andy Taylor says outside promotion contenders for Bradford City. Just a point off those now, Adam Pope, Catherine Hannah, do we think they really are?
If they can start to be a bit more consistent. That goal was a thing of beauty, by the way, from Billy Clark. Took it down brilliantly, and then a beautiful finish as well. It's nice to see some great football being played. I think if they can start doing it a bit more regularly, back-to-back wins now for the first time all season, I think it was.
That sort of sets it all. That's the first, in the league. I sort of about Bradford this year, having been so bullish about their hopes last year. I don't know, I think they seem like a 10th, maybe, you know?
I don't think it's a given, but if they can go on a bit of a run after Christmas, then they can be there or thereabouts. No reason why not.
More of your three-word reviews here. Chris says, team's gelling well for Bradford, for Huddersfield Town defensive frailties exposed. That's the thoughts of David L. Clark. Thank you for all of these. Paul says, not bootiful game, again, for Huddersfield. And Danny Rose says, a club needs sorting regarding Leeds United. Keep them coming in the next couple of minutes on BBC Radio Leeds. This is the view of Phil Parkinson after that win on Saturday.
It's a really magnificent goal. You know, any level of football you're watching this week, you know, that will be as good as anything you see. So, it was a goal which deserved to win a game of football. And I pulled Billy over with 10 minutes to go and I said, make sure that goal is part of a winning team. We just kind of sat back a little bit for a period. But I was pleased.
5 wins in 6 matches now, a bit of momentum beginning to build.
Yeah, no, we're pleased. This was a real test for us today. We'd gone to Preston. You know, big team, big stadium, everyone talked about Preston, and we rose our game to that. You know, Chesterfield, a team in and around us, it was great that we raised our game again today, and I'm so pleased with that. Some good performances out there. It wasn't always great from the second half, especially when they had 10 men, with the periods where it became a bit scrappy when we needed to show a bit more composure. But we showed resilience today, and that was really, really important. We've gone a while without getting a clean sheet. Even against Dartford, we didn't get the clean sheet. And, it's important for the likes of Pickford, Davis and McArdle to get those clean sheets. And I thought they deserved it today. I thought the two centre-halves were great.
And just 1 point off the playoffs now?
Yeah. I mean, listen, we just keep going and... And it was important today to set ourselves up for the Christmas period, and we're going to next week, with our feet firmly on the ground. It doesn't really matter who you play in this division, whether the bottom or the top. It's about how you play and how you prepare for the game, and we've got to make sure we're right on it come next week.
Yeah, Phil Parkinson not being committed on being a point outside of the playoffs.
Yeah, he's going to remain uncommittal. But again, it'd be interesting to see what business they do in January, Bradford. Still, things like, you know, can they sort of out this John Stead situation? He just really seems to be making an impact there, and what else they can do.
It is interesting. January's going to be fascinating because Leeds can do, but can they? Despite an embargo, Town have said they would be very active. Bradford got no money worries, really, have they? So,
no,
push
but
on, go
today,
for it.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. One of the issues regarding Bradford City, and we heard him talking there about the form of Pickford and how a super save he made at the weekend. But Ben Williams hasn't been doing anything wrong either. So you've got a good battle for the two goalkeepers then. This is Dave Fletcher's thoughts on that.
I think Pickford's been brought here to Bradford City to play week in, week out. I think that's the whole reason that he's been allowed to join Bradford City on loan. And at the moment, at the start of the season, I might have given Ben Williams a shot earlier rather than later, but then again, what does that do to the confidence of a youngster like Pickford? On Saturday, he made a save from Jay O'Shea, one-handed, that was just stunning, absolutely stunning. He had to score O'Shea, and he stuck up a right arm and beat it away, and it went behind for a corner. So at the moment, I would say that Pickford just edges it for me.
The reason I asked Fletch about this is because obviously Ben Williams has done so well in the cup games because Pickford hasn't been allowed to play in them. But we saw it with Liverpool yesterday. Mignolet finally dropped and Jones came in a really big game against Manchester United, then conceded quite a few goals. We have talked, a few Leeds fans have talked in the last couple of weeks, and we spoke about it here, about Silvestri maybe being dropped. There's still a debate at Huddersfield between Smithies and the guy that's injured now, Murphy. Where do you think about sticking with one keeper? Can you rotate them or should you go, you're my number one, bang, whatever happens?
No, I think you have to stick with it. I think goalkeeper is a slightly different kettle of fish to the other positions, and it's kind of confidence and week in, week out, having that consistency. I'm not sure what's happening with Ben Williams, because unless I've missed it, Phil Parkinson, when I spoke to him last week, said he was due to sit down with the chairman, Julian Rhodes, and discuss the contract situation with both him and Moraes as well. Mm. And I've not heard anything since, so whether they're still thrashing out the details of what they want to do there or quite what, I don't know.
We'll ask him when we speak to them this week, see if there's any more developments on that. Some more of your three-word reviews. Adam, regarding Leeds, another wasted night. Evil. Ooh, that's an interesting Twitter handle. Second half capitulation regarding Huddersfield Town. Richard says, long journey back. John for Leeds says, play better Christmas. And Barry for Huddersfield, no, not again. George Wood, this could be any team. Expletive, expletive, expletive. This one's regarding Leeds United.
Can we just stop going to East Anglia? I think that would probably help.
Generally, I do think the curve is on the playing side, but I think it still could be a bit painful for a little while.
Collect boys say, even though we're Town fans, what about Sean St. Ledger for Leeds? Just a thought. He did trial at Town, was it at the end of last season or over the summer, and nothing came from that. So, interesting
possibility.
One.
Yeah. He's floating. I also wonder whether Huddersfield and Leeds are going to end up going for the same players again, because when you look at their shopping list, they do seem quite similar in a lot of respects, and yet Town have got more spending power than Leeds currently, so that could put them at an advantage.
Well, as always, we could have gone on for another couple of hours, but time has beaten us, with Mark Forrest coming up after 7 o'clock news and then Russell Walker. Thank you again for everyone getting involved. Thank you to Popey, Catherine, Oggy and Dave Fletcher. Really appreciate all of you giving us your thoughts and taking the time to do so. This show will be up in the next couple of minutes on the iPlayer, bbc.co.uk/radioleeds. Click on listen again and go to Monday's version of the show. And tomorrow morning, we'll put it up on our Audio Boom page as well. Go to audioboom.com and type in West Yorkshire Sport to find the channel there. All our post-match reaction in full from the weekend is there as well. Remember to follow us on Twitter if you don't already, at WYS Daily. And just a reminder of that FA Cup special we had last week for Leeds United. That's still up on the iPlayer from last Tuesday's show as well. Thank you for everyone's getting involved. Have a wonderful night.
Proud to be Yorkshire.
With news you trust.
BBC Radio Leeds.